A reading from Luke 13:28-30. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last.
Yesterday, this is simply a continuation of the passage we talked about yesterday, and we didn't actually focus very much on what Jesus was saying about life after death. He's prophesizing, it's basically the early version of Revelation, is what you're getting here. And then he's saying, he's providing some news that for many would be considered politically incorrect or just bad news or impolite or not to be brought up at cocktail parties. And that is, some are not going to make it. It's not what we want to hear.
Right. Yeah, our whole idea is that everyone's in. And Jesus is saying, no. What's really amazing, though, in fact, that he's saying some won't make it, his statement is here very inclusive in who he says will make it. Because he says north, south, east, and west. And this would have rattled the people and Jewish power. And even saying, indeed, those who are last will be first and the first will be last. Even if they were conscripting to a worldview that said God called the family of the Jews to bring all other families of the earth into relationship, they certainly believed that the Jewish family was the first family. And now he's saying the first family is going to be last, and the last family coming in is going to be first, and they're going to come from all corners of the globe. People don't want to hear this. This is not good. I mean, they've set up a religious system where they're on the inside, and there's really a boldness to what Jesus is saying that we would miss not knowing that cultural context.
You have to realize, I think, when you're reading this, is that Jesus has come to fracture these preconceptions. The other thing that comes to my mind is when the rich young ruler has rejected Christ and his call, everybody's astonished when Jesus says, well, it's very hard for the rich. It's harder for them to go through the eye of a needle than to... What's the last?
It's harder for them to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
And really, I think we have to be sympathetic with that because it's very natural for people to attribute virtue and wealth, to combine them. He must be a good person because he has accumulated so much wealth, but Jesus is fracturing that.
Well, in here, you must be a good person because you were born Jew. No. You are a good person because you are connected with God and he has poured his love into you. It's a difference of perspective. And over these last couple days, Jesus has been giving clues. We haven't really focused in on it, like you said, about how wide the reach was going to be. Even as he's talked about narrow gates and him being the way, he's been giving clues that it's people outside of the norm that you expect who are getting in. And it makes a lot of sense for Luke because Luke is the gospel writer to the marginalized. He includes women and Gentiles and people outside the religious culture in ways that the other gospel writers don't.
In fact, in Acts, just not to go too far on this, but in Acts, on the 15th chapter, there's a whole chapter of who can get in and who can't, and the Jews are trying to impose the traditions on the Gentiles who have accepted the message, and it brings about a council in Jerusalem, and it's finally decided that circumcision is not necessary to be a Christian.
Well, one of the subtexts of Acts is, will this be a Jewish sect, or will this be a world religion? And bless the Lord for those early believers who wrestled through their own prejudice and their own ethnocentrism so that they were able to say, Jesus was sent for the nations, not just for our nation.